Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Friday. Sadly, for some of us, the last Friday of summer. But, you know, fall is coming for those of you that like the little less heated you know, like the change of the seasons and whatnot. But thanks for taking the time out with us. So we're taking a mental health day. But we're actually taking a mental health day in terms of talking about some mental health issues and stuff. Actually, there was even an article I found about things to eat to help us keep up our mental health. But we've got our mental health expert on today, Kathy Booker. Are you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Welcome back. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Just doing what I do. So I have not been able to get to you because I had
That's
so much other stuff going on.
You got a real job. That pays. You can't always be giving out free advice.
Well, I'm glad because I was going, oh, my goodness, she's got a basket full. I said, does she really know what she's tackled this morning?
Well, we may or may not get to all of it, you know, because there's so much more that could be discussed today. One of the things I did want to run by you, and shoot, I did not get a chance to pull up that article, but, okay, so Mayor is it Bill de Blasio of New York has decided he doesn't want to play anymore. He's not running for president anymore. So my understanding is, and I could be wrong, that he originally gotten there to make a point, I guess, or to point out some things, and he didn't really expect, I guess, to win. And my question is, I mean, I don't think he was long enough in there to make any type of points. And if he's in there running and not planning on staying the duration, wasn't planning on staying the duration, can people take someone like that seriously, no matter what point he was trying to make?
Well, from what I'm hearing, you're saying that he got in to make a point. And you remember when we first talked about this some weeks ago when 20 people were in to make a point? I said,
well,
then.
Some of them actually expect to win, you know, but some of them.
You really think they do?
Some of them, are, you know, expect to win or are running to win. I mean, I can't see expending that much time and energy for. I mean, I know some of them don't necessarily expect to win, but maybe expect to get something out of it, maybe some sort of appointment or some sort of seat, you know, down the road.
Right.
But
my thinking about it is that they were able to have a platform, a national platform, to talk about that which they had concerns or interest in, and it has then brought to the forefront those particular issues or topics. that they were definitive about, you know, bringing more questions to some of the, you know, hard-hitting subjects that we have. And so I think, you know, just like I thought from the beginning, I was going, okay, this is just a way for me to have my say. I don't think it was about winning or the expectation that they would be the nominee for the party. I believe that they were practicing, you know, like, you know, Stephanie was saying, a lot of them, you know, it would give you an opportunity to hear issues as opposed to having just one person up there who just kind of did the fluff job, like we've had, just a fluff job of what they wanted or what they thought was needed. And here with 20 different people, you got to really hear some hard-hitting concerns about several things that's going on in our country. And so I think he did what he purposed to do in the first place, and it wasn't about winning. It was about bringing some important things before the American public so that we could have a better view, knowledge, whatever, about particular subjects, because it's not just two or three things. It's a whole lot of stuff going on in our country now, and we have to have more information. And if this is what it took in order to bring forth that information, I would say he did win.
Okay. I guess so, because my question is, in a year from now, when it's really getting, you know, to the nitty-gritty, is anybody going to remember anything that he said? Is anybody going to remember?
So.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, he himself would, I would think, follow up and bring those issues to the party itself. You know, it's not a thing that it, you know, well, yeah, we know that's a problem, but these things are more important. I think this presidential election is going to have to be a lot more familiar, diverse, and versatile on not just a few issues, but enough of the issues to persuade the American public that there is a concern and that something's going to be done about more than just two or three things. And then underneath the cloak of everything, all kind of legislation is being passed without the constituents' approval that may, in a long run, hurt that particular state or the country as a whole.
Okay. And just one other question in regards to, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the election right now, but what I did want to ask, since I've got you on, I've been meaning to ask, like I said, there's about another, 14 months, you know, 13 months or whatever. That can be kind of grueling and taxing for those that are truly in it for the long haul. So how do these people stay, I guess, on track in terms of what they're trying to do, but kind of stay grounded and focused and maybe somewhat normal by the time all this is over?
Being a president of a country like ours is probably the most difficult task that you could ever undertake overall. I think most people, when they get into the office, they had no idea. They had what they thought and then the reality. It's just like when you have any job. You ever had a job and you got the interview, what you thought the job was much different than what it was once you got in there?
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
I think being president is even more so, because now you have to listen or have people who are going to listen to all the passionate concerns that they may have, and to be able to get up and running and being able to know what type of thing you can do to represent most of the American public, you know, because they're small special interest people, and then they're, you know, the conglomerates that have a lot of power and lobbying power. And so information that you get, you have to be, as president, sure that maybe that's the most accurate information that you can get. If you can't get that, then, you know, that becomes a problem. And so sifting through, it's a big job. Whoever wants it, I think it's great, but when you get in that position, just realize that you're not just representing America, but you're representing America as a world leader. And I think that the next 14 months is going to be able to sift out who, what, when, where, and how can really get in that position this time, and not allow a lot of the mismanagement that has occurred in these last couple of years that we have, because we've had a mismanagement of time and money spent, and it doesn't make sense in the history of my lifetime. I think that there's a lot more important things going on than what one person's opinion is, because I'm president, I can say it. Protocol has not been followed. And definitely etiquette has been thrown out of the window. Being able to carry that position, regardless of whether you agree or disagree, is the biggest part of that job, is showing your ability to be be an intellectual person, a person that's familiar enough with a worldwide issues as well as issues of this country, and presenting those and representing what's in the best interest. Isn't that what the law says? Something about the best interests of the country. You know, when they do the pledge or they're swearing in. It is going to be an interesting 14 months, and I would hope that perhaps the American public would really begin to educate themselves better so they can assure that their representation of their vote is for the person that they feel who would do what's in the best interest of the country.
Okay, so we'll probably at some point get back to that topic. Like I said, I didn't want to dwell on it too much, but like I said, it's going to be a long, long haul. So we'll be checking in on to see what's going on with those people. But in the meantime, I wanted to get to some items that I found. One is an article about lying. Okay, why do people lie? This came out yesterday. And they asked an expert, a doctor named Robert Feldman, who's a professor of psychology at the University of Massachusetts. According to him, he says the biggest reason people are dishonest is that lying is a very effective social tactic. he says people don't expect to be lied to. The expectation is that they're hearing the truth from others, and so that allows people who are lying often to get away with it. Oh, goodness gracious. Anyway, there's some other, short bits that they have in here to flatter people, to avoid awkwardness, to influence others, to avoid a negative outcome, to achieve a positive outcome, to make yourself look more impressive, to maintain a lie. Those are some of the reasons. Kathy? Okay.
Part of it
does not make sense to me. If you expect the truth, how can it, but you know everybody's lying.
How do you expect the truth? I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not as astute enough, you know, in that particular area to know. But help a sister out here.
I think you are. And this particular topic has so many pathways, you know, so many exits on and off. And I agree, people lie either to protect themselves or not get the consequences that they think they may get if they tell the truth. So in some parts of that, I think it's correct. The other part of it for me professionally is I think that you ever met people who often will speak the truth, but because of the way they say it, they say that person is aggressive, that person is cocky, that person has no, what do they call it, discretion, tact,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of the things. So when a person is truthful according to their insight or perspective of the world, there's a lot of negative connotations to just dealing with a person straight out, you know, shoot from the hip. You may not like what they say, but what they say is the truth. I'm going, well, if a person tells the truth, how many people really want to hear the truth? You know?
Or how many people really believe them when they're telling them the truth?
Yeah. Or because of their own cultural bias,
mm-hmm.
it may be the truth, but it's not a truth according to how I'm going to do it. Particularly, you know, racism has no, there's nothing in it that you could say that it's a viable way to think or feel about anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
However, it happens, okay, and that's the truth. And as we have developed since, you know, the time of slavery up until this point, the truth about how awful that whole event in America occurred and how it continued to occur even after, you know, slavery was so-called abolished, the lie still continues about that part of our history. It's almost as, let us hurry up and forget about that, because that was awful. Well, has enough changed over the period of time since the abolishment of slavery? Has much changed since that time? And if it has, who and how has the country as a whole benefited from that? And so you get pros and cons, Gretchen, even on that subject. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's America's big lie.
Yeah. We're going to take break because we're going to talk about this some more, because I want to know, you know, especially like when you know, like compulsive liars, when does that mm-hmm. become, you know, is that a mental health problem, the compulsive lying? So we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Yeah, why y'all lying out there? We're going to find out a little bit more about that with Kathy Booker. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. we're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arclitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Welcome back, Chief. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're taking a mental health day, talking about some mental health issues with Kathy Booker. Why y'all lying? That's what we want to know. When does it become an issue, and how does someone's mental health determine whether or not they end up being, let's say, a compulsive liar?
Compulsive liar. It's a learned behavior, and part of it, for me, I've had young people say to me, well, I was told that if I didn't lie, then I wouldn't get any consequences. But what happens is that they tell the truth and then they get consequences. So that's a mixed message for kids. So if I'm going to get consequences, I might as well lie anyway. Okay. So according to the severity of the punishment, I think will determine, or the fact that you don't get caught. Just think, sometimes some kids can not necessarily get caught because the parent or whomever the caregiver is believes that kid. Because, you know, most of the time people say, oh, kids don't lie. Well, if you allow that particular behavior to go on unchecked, mainly because sometimes people are in denial about the fact that maybe, you know, oh, that kid would lie. You know, kids can't lie. Well, kids can lie because they learn that if I can get away with it the first time and nothing mm-hmm. happens, or I was given a consequence afterwards, it doesn't matter whether I tell the truth or lie. I might as well lie anyway. It's that mixed message that we continue to give to people about integrity. What is, you know, if your word is your bond and integrity is something that you want to maintain in terms of your character, how is it that you then help people, particularly who may have learned that if I lie, I get away with it and then nothing is done, compared to a kid who may have gotten consequences and it doesn't matter, no matter whether I tell the truth or not, I'll get consequences.
But,
you
Kathy,
know, it happens over a period of time. If I've learned to be a good liar and can get away with it, human
but
nature.
But, Kathy, do you really, in the long term, Kathy, do you really get away with it? Because then don't you build up a reputation as, oh, you know, don't listen to her, or don't listen to him. You know, they're not going to tell you the whole truth anyway, you know. So, I mean, so you have people looking at this kind of sideways, you know, because, you know, you may say something, but then they have to verify it through someone else. So doesn't that, like, number one, mess up your reputation? Number two, mm-hmm. isn't it a struggle to kind of keep up with lies on top of lies? Doesn't that kind of put more strain
no.
on you mentally than in the beginning?
No. If I can get you to believe me, it's no more stress. It's a behavior. It continues. Just look at our political atmosphere right now. It has
it's
been
not.
Accepted that it's okay to lie or say you don't remember that, or that person is not telling the truth. I have seen this subject of lying so just smattered in your face. You know, reputation. When did reputation mean anything the last time, you know, you really think about it? When was reputation one of the things that people, that you could believe them? Because if you look at a person's reputation, then that means the likelihood of them lying is not as high as it would be a person who has been getting away with it all of their life. And people know that they lie. And so they may be still socially accepted in a group of people, but in the long run, most people just don't trust them. They're going to limit or have boundaries on what they allow them to do in their social setting, but they're still a part of that social setting. And, you know, and I know you can been in a situation where people be going, oh, he lies all the time. It ain't no big, you know, but he's a good guy. Well, either he's a good guy or he's a good liar.
You know? Yeah.
It's a mixed message, you know.
Yeah.
That would make me feel uncomfortable, you know, because
then, that's really unsettling. It is.
It is. It is. And it goes back to trust then. If I'm in a social setting, am I likely to put my purse down, you know, or am I going to be more protective of my personal space because this person is, you know, around now? Oh, well, he lies a little bit. But, you know, he don't mean no harm. Well, you minimize the integrity of what a lie is and how harmful it can be over a period of time. And then people start accepting that it's okay for that person. But under what circumstances and what situation do you not allow that person to be within that social setting? Okay, let's say the person comes up with a good big contract, and I know personally that this person is a liar and he don't have nothing to back up that contract. Am I going to say anything, or I'm just going to let the lie continue on? So it's even us checking each other as peers, as people who may be in the same social setting, because a liar will put you out as a front person who has good reputation, integrity, good character, and name drop you in order for them to get what they need to have done. So, you know, it's a learning behavior.
I guess my thing is, like, you're talking too about people who are defending the liars, and so it would make me question the character of that person if they're so easily to defend the liar.
They're not defending them. They're just saying they know a characteristic about that person that is not trustworthy.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're saying it's no big deal.
Right, because they know the person. They know them well enough to know what and when they will lie. So then if I'm a new person coming into the setting and I don't know that, then, you know, the person may make light of it, you know. Or sometimes people don't say anything and they say, well, they'll find out for themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I kind of would rather you tell me.
Yeah.
So that's
about that lying thing. We do it to protect our own personal image, but when it becomes compulsive, like you say, then you bring out the image of a person who cannot be trusted because they won't tell the truth, or if they're placed in a situation where they can tell the truth, they're going to distort it in their best interest to protect themselves.
I'm gonna move on to something else that I thought was interesting in terms of mental health.
new rules by the NBA. This happened, and I posted this on a G's Power Hour Facebook page, and I have to commend the National Basketball Association for doing this. They are adopting some rules requiring teams to add full-time mental health staff for the 2019-2020 season. According to this article, this is CNBC, expanding mental health guidelines that adopted last season, starting this year, all teams must have at least one mental health professional on their full-time staff. The league adopted the new rules at a meeting in Chicago last week. I have to give them kudos to realize that mental health is just as important as the physical. You know, at least this is a start.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to tell you my own altruistic about this. I was going, oh, good, maybe somebody will call me.
Call Kathy Booker, y'all. Hey.
Like,
you aren't busy enough, but yeah.
I think it's a good step in the right direction. I just hope that there's no stigma between teammates about if a person is having it a little difficult than maybe than the average person, because, you know, performance anxiety is very high when you're competing to win. And that's among the best of the athletes. You know, so some athletes have a ritual before they even go on the court, or if they go out on, you know, on the football field, or they go on the tennis court or the soccer field, or, you know, whatever sport it is, they have a ritual so that when they come out, then they're ready to perform, hopefully at optimum, because they've been able to go through their ritual before they even got on the floor. Let's say that ritual is interrupted because there's an argument at home, getting to the actual game was stressful, there was a car accident, there, you know, just any number of calamities that can happen before you actually get on the court that causes an increase of anxiety. And then you go on the court, and because we are not aware of sometimes how much environmental stimulus affects us, because we just, you know, we kind of placate ourselves and go, oh, that's normal, you know, and no big deal, you know, I got to go and play this game. But internally, physically, emotionally, it impacts us. And then you see the difference between a person who may have 100% day compared to a one that may have only a 40% day, and they're expected to perform at 100%. So, of course, they're going to be depressed, because instead of being able to make, 75% of their shots, they only made, you know, 33rd and a third percentage of their shots, or, you know, the ball game, their baseball game, they didn't hit, you know, the triple numbers that you can get with each sport is, you know, reduced because you have had something that emotionally affected you before you even got in the game. I remember ministers always saying that they needed to consecrate themselves prior to going into their sermon for whatever the day that they had to prepare, you know, for their sermon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way, I think, with athletes. You know, environmentally, we can be affected by what is going on around us greatly, how much we pay attention to that and can resolve it before we go to perform can be the issue. How we manage ourselves, you know, what is our, you know, self-containment skills that we have available to us, so that if indeed something happens, let's say a death of a child or a death of your wife or a death of a parent, you know, and you got a game that night, can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know,
and
going
you gotta,
out
sport. You got to commend these players to that kind of were the catalyst for this. They retired in this particular article that I posted on the G Power Hour Facebook page. They talk about this one Cleveland Cavalier, Kevin Love, who had a panic attack in the middle of a game with the Atlanta Hawks. You know, he's on on the floor in the locker room. You know, he's trying to get a grip and stuff like that. They're telling him, "Oh, you're fine." You know, he wasn't fine. It just wasn't physical. It wasn't outwardly, I guess, observable, because we've got to work on separating the mental and the physical, because it's all interconnected, you know.
Exactly.
So
it's very
much. Yeah. So we keep separating it out, and I think that's what the big problem is.
It is. It's a physical ailment that manifests itself in the emotional part of the brain. I mean, it's just amazing. If I had it to do all over again, I would be a psychiatrist, because the brain is phenomenal at how it works, at the level it works to protect us. Because that, when him having that panic attack, that had to do with the brain trying to protect him from something that he could not resolve emotionally, mentally. So the physical going, "Hey, something's wrong. You need to do something about this." And so it's going, "Okay, let's go. What's happening?" So you begin to get that flight, fright, or freeze kind of thing, and your heart rate goes up, and you know, just thinking, you're running, your heart rate is going faster, your breathing is off, and so your panic attack becomes right there, plain and visible. And it may have been something as simple as he may have heard something even before he got on the court.
Yeah.
That shook him enough that even when he went out, you know, and it could have been a message. You know, I've heard from young people saying to them, "Oh, you'll never be nothing."
Mm.
Can you imagine a person who is now going out on the court and they are something and they're feeling good about it, but that message pops up, "Oh, you'll never be nothing."
Mm.
You know? So
yeah.
Interesting. The brain is so very, very interesting in how it reacts to certain stimulus. You know, somebody may have said something to him on the court that hit him hard, that he caused the attack. And it could have been as much as a mama or a daddy, a friend telling you you wasn't nothing and you were never going to be nothing.
Yeah, it might have been something that he was dealing with before he got on the court, and he probably figured, "Oh, I can just play through it." And the more he played, the worse, you know, it got, because he wasn't dealing with it, you know, so you just don't know.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. NBA, call Kathy. Don't forget, call Kathy. Anyway, this is Steve's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. The number, if you have questions for Kathy, is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event? Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar? Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast? Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Now, I know it's the third Friday. Some of you all expected Robert Bowden. He is busy. He's away, but hopefully we'll be able to track him down and get him to come back next week. I can't see going through the month without some those gardening tips for sure. But we have Kathy Booker giving us some mental health tips. And Kathy, I wanted to talk a little bit about diet and mental health. You know, like I said, this is another way I guess we have to work on connecting the dots between the physical and the mental and realize it's all one, you know, big working organism. So can you talk a little bit about how much diet plays a role in mental health? It just plays a role. Because I'm also curious in terms of how the diet plays a role and how does mental health also play a role in what we do in terms of the choices for our diet. I don't know if you recall that we talked about this person that ended up suffering from malnutrition and going blind because they ate a mostly white diet of like French fries and any type of potatoes and stuff like that, you know, starchy type stuff. And ended up, you know, young person losing their sight permanently. So, I want to find out how, you know, your mental health and your diet are related.
Let me give you a good example. You go and get the top of the line car. I don't know what it is, Ferrari, Maserati, you know, whatever, you know, Rolls Royce. Jaguar, you know, but you treat it like a Ford Prius. Okay. Now, basically, both of those cars will serve you well if you take care of them. However, if you treat the car that you've paid, $100,000 like you treat a car that you only pay $20,000 for, then the symptoms that you get from both cars are the same because you didn't do the oil check, you didn't make sure you kept all of the fluids of either car set up and the way they react. You know, maybe for the $100,000 dollar car, it may not act up immediately, but for the lower range car, it happens quickly. Okay, so your body is that same way, but I think everybody has a Rolls Royce body. Okay, if you treat that body right, and there's certain things you have to do, you have to have the right eating habits, you have to have the right exercise, you have to make sure you're in a good environment to make sure that body runs the way it's supposed to. However, if I take off and let's say I put instead of putting synthetic oil in your car, you put regular oil in your car, and you begin to have problems with your car, then that's how your body reacts. So if I put what I already know that may be bad for me because I've noticed a reaction for it, but I didn't pay attention to the reaction when it happened, and that has happened several times over the course of my lifetime. And as I got older, the more I used that particular food, I found out that I was having bad reactions to it. So I believe diet or what you eat makes a big difference in how your body reacts. And I agree with the article when it was said about depression. You know, if you eat too much sugar, you have what they call sugar high. But when you crash big time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Okay. Or if you don't feed myself first thing in the morning, you see the reactions from kids. Kids who don't eat in the morning don't do well in school.
And I'll tell you they another thing, too, when you're talking about kids, because I was thinking about, you know, I try to keep up on, you know, I'm not perfect, but I do try to keep up on all of the stuff and read and stuff. And I know that, you know, sugar can just make you, like, bounce all over the place if you're not
mm-hmm.
careful. And one of the things, I love my church. First of all, let me say I love my church, okay? But one of the things they do after Mass is coffee and donuts. It's in the morning
mm-hmm.
after Mass, okay? And everybody rushes to get the coffee and donuts. There's donuts full of sugar. There's coffee full of sugar. And then, you know, because of, I guess, some of the awkwardness of the time or whatever, sometimes it's easy, especially if you're there all day doing stuff, it's easy to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was teaching a religious education class, and I had like 7th and 8th graders. And I had this one guy that would come in my class, and he was just, you know, nice kid and everything, but just, you know, always just kind of disrupting the class, kind of reminded me of me. Anyway, the parents had to, you know, come and sign them in and sign them out and everything. And one day I cornered his mom, you know, and asked her, I said, are you taking him to get coffee and donuts before he comes to class? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, stop doing that. You know? I said, no more donuts before class, please. You know, she looked at me weird, and he wasn't really happy with me. But, I mean, the thing about it, and you could tell, though, a difference. He stopped doing all that bouncing around so much, and he kind of was almost in a funk, but I know he knew he was really bright, and so I would call on him, and he would, you know, give the answers, you know, to the questions and stuff like that. But he just needed to kind of settle down a little bit.
Yeah, and that's how certain foods affect us. It becomes toxic to us, and so
mm-hmm.
your brain is trying to work of how to use this, and so it's going to do whatever it can do to burn off what it needs to do or try to get rid of that junk as quickly as it can. And so in that time, you're not, you know, with even adults, you can see that. That the way they perform. I tell people all the time, I wake up early at 4 o'clock. The best time
mm-hmm.
to get me to see optimum is between 4 o'clock in the morning and 12 noon. By 12 noon, I'm beginning to, you know, come down. Even if I eat lunch, I'm beginning to come down. By 7 o'clock, I don't want to talk no more. I don't want to, you know, exchange anything at all, because at that point I am no longer at optimum. I'm at low fuel, and I don't have the filter that I would need to be able to say something without possibly offending anybody and everybody in the room. Not my intention, but my filter
mm-hmm.
is on. So I
no, I truly understand that. I was telling my husband, I don't know if it was yesterday or a day before, I was like, don't ask me to deal with anything with numbers at night. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying that I can't deal with them, but I think I'm probably more prone to making an error than
mm-hmm.
than earlier in the day. And I'm kind of like you. 3 o'clock, I am struggling. If I sit down, it's over.
Yeah.
So three o'clock, it's like, oh, no, we can't sit down. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. Because otherwise, and then when I try to sit down in the evening with my husband to watch TV,
uh-huh.
and it's maybe like 7 or 8 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I got to go. But I understand what you're saying.
I can't do more nonsense today.
Oh, God.
I'm just doing figures. I can do figures, you know, optimum. First thing during the day, but at 7 o'clock at night, you're asking me things that I have to think about too long And so maybe you need to ask somebody else how to do that, because right now I'm burnt. I've had enough of trying to figure things out. And you giving me them numbers right now, it's like in the restaurant, I'm sometimes so happy that I don't have to look at what the tip percentage is on my ticket. You know, and I can round it out real quick and, you know, give them the cash and say, don't bring no change. You know, that is.
Yeah, I like the ones that have the percentages on there and tell you what it is. I'm like, okay, thanks. Appreciate it. It makes it a lot easier.
You know?
But I do want to read. I want to read this one part of this article, which I posted on the Juice Power Hour Facebook page. It says, one-third of adults in America eat fast food, on a given day. Many of us see French fries and chocolate cake as treats to cheer us up when we're feeling down. I'm guilty. But perhaps our perspective on food needs an update. With a few simple dietary changes, you might be able to improve both your mind and your mood.
And I
have to say, give me a three-layer moist chocolate cake and some McDonald's French fries. I'm good, so I got to work on that. It doesn't happen that often. I've gotten better, But anyway, what's that?
Down. Potato chips.
Oh, okay. So I'm more of a sweet
crunch
girl.
Yeah, I'm a crunch person, and a bag of potato chips just puts me right in the right mood, and I can move on.
Yeah. See, like a good chocolate chip cookie with nuts, dark chocolate with nuts, that works really, really well, and I'm going to stop. Okay, but we're going to take a break. We are talking mental health today with Kathy Booker. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have a question, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking mental health with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker. One of the articles, too, I came across was in the New York Times about what students are saying about mental health days, self-doubt, and their fashion idols. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But quickly, I wanted to ask, we are changing seasons. Fall starts Monday, I believe. And as a lot of people have noticed, it's starting to get darker earlier and everything. How does the change of seasons impact our mental health?
It's definitely, so many cloudy days and cold days. Down here in Florida, I think, is a different effect for seasonal affect disorder. It may come as it's always too sunny and too, pretty. And, people tend to, enough is enough, and they want to get over it because they're tired of it seeming so happy all the time. So I think with the fall coming and the temperature dropping, that'll help people feel more at rest and ease, that they don't have to figure out how to cool down. But now we have a change, and you can feel the change, and that can make you feel better overall. because now I don't have to decide when I can go outside and when I can't go outside, particularly for people who like to be outside walking or running or doing the outdoor, you know, out in their yard. It's going to, because then you begin to see more people out in their yard doing stuff compared to, you know, the summertime. In the spring and in the fall, don't you notice how people, you know, begin to do annuals and do little stuff around their house?
Yeah.
That's much than the summer, the sweltering summer.
I don't understand the too happy part. I mean, what, do people get pleasure out of being miserable?
No, not a miserable. It's like, you know, it's too much of a good thing, kind of. And so some people just don't know how to accept the fact that it's okay for the weather to be nice and free and, you know, seeing things. They're, you know, they're just not accustomed to that, particularly people, I think, that move from up north and come down. You always hear them say, oh, I'm ready for the season to change, and I don't like it because they only two seasons here, hot and hotter. Yeah.
I'm like, go home. I'm sorry. It's like I enjoy, you know, I'm not one of those layers person. It's like it's too many clothes, okay? But it's too many clothes, okay? But anyway, we'll probably be talking more about that in the coming months and days and months. I do want to get back to this article about the students. It was some students that were invited to share their thoughts on forgiveness and self-doubt, video games and fashion, family cooks and their hometown shortcomings and a bunch of other stuff. And so, like, I'm posting that. One of the questions was, should students get mental health days off from school? And it says, recently two states passed laws allowing students to take time off for their mental health. So they say below, they offer compelling arguments. Like I said, I'll post it so you guys can read it for letting students take mental health days. My thing is, do you have to tell somebody it's a mental health day, or can you just say, I'm sick? If you're physically ill, you don't have to explain it.
Right.
Except, you know, maybe at a doctor's note or something, you know, if you, you know, abuse the privilege. But why should I have to explain the mental health, you know, if I'm not feeling right in the head, so to speak?
Or feeling not well physically, you know, because part of being depression, part of a symptom of depression is not feeling like yourself. Or if you're over anxious, you're not going to feel like yourself. So my only thought about it is the abusive nature of how it could be a problem that way. But if truly indeed, I think they had a, you know, they have senior skip days. I think those are, you know, nice. We don't want you to skip, but if you do, this is the day we accept for you to skip. And I think that would help. But on, you know, if it's a small population of kids who sometimes just need to detached for a moment so that they can feel better about, you know, school, what they can, because while I'm out doing what I do, the one thing that I noticed is that what I used to do, and I don't know if you did this, after I went to school for a full day, I would come in and take a nap before dinner, before I did my homework, because I was just overstressed, you know, overstimulated, you know, from the day. And I just needed to come home and sleep.
I watched cartoons.
Yeah.
I watched cartoons.
So,
that was me.
And you think about these young people, when they come from school, then they're on their phones. You know, they don't give themselves enough downtime. So I think if it's not abused, it's a good idea. I just would hope that parents, teachers would be able to monitor that so that it could not be a point of abuse. You know, are you talking about one or two days a month or one or two days a semester? You know, that all of that, that's a lot to try to monitor.
Yeah.
I agree,
Captain
with
Booker.
On some hands,
thank
but
you.
The other hand. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah. I enjoyed the day.
I appreciate you helping us get a little more straight. Thank you. Have a blessed weekend.
You do the same.
All right.
Keep hope alive, girl.
Amen to that. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Next week, we're going to have someone who is dealing with sickle cell on a daily basis tell us about her life. And so that's coming up next week. Have a wonderful weekend. And this has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Mm-hmm.